President Marcos leads government officials in paying their last respects to the late President Fidel V. Ramos. China staging its largest ever military drills around Taiwan following the visit of U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. Japan sets a new record high in daily COVID cases. And Senator Amy Marcos defending the movie made in Malacañang after a bishop called for a boycott of the pro-Marcos film. Hi, I'm Carmina Constantino. Dateline Philippines begins right now. Today, for those of you watching us on YouTube and on Facebook, nice to have you with us. Topping the midday news, current and former Philippine government officials bid farewell to former President Fidel V. Ramos as his wake and heritage park in Taguig City opens to visitors. Among those who paid their last respects, President Ferdinand Marcos Jr. ABS-CBN's Sherry Antores now joins us with an update. Sher, over to you.
Yes, Carmina, former and current government officials continue to arrive here at the Heritage Park to pay their last respects and to extend their condolences to the bereaved family of former President Fidel Valdez Ramos. Labor Secretary Bienvenido Laguesma and Energy Secretary Rafael Lotilla were the first to visit Ramos's wake. They both served Ramos as Undersecretary, Lotilla with the National Economic Development Authority and Laguesma with the Office of the Executive Secretary and later on with the Department of Labor and Employment. Laguesma said it was FVR who changed the term overseas contract workers to overseas Filipino workers as a sign of the government's respect and recognition to their significant contribution to the nation and to the world. Lotilla, meantime, shared how he treasures the many lessons and discipline in public service that Ramos gave him as his superior. Former Vice President Lenny Robredo also visited at around 9 in the morning, as well as former Senate President Vicente Soto III, who also looked at Ramos as his mentor in public service. Others who were at the wake today include House Speaker Martin Romualdez, Special Assistant to the President Anton Lagdameo, Senator Ramon Revilla Jr., and his wife, Mayor Lani Mercado. Meantime, former First Lady Amelita Ming Ramos, who arrived shortly before 10 in the morning, briefly stopped at the media area and conveyed her gratitude to all who take the time to console them. Mrs. Ramos, in her own words, said her late husband worked so hard and he deserves to rest. Meantime, President Ferdinand Marcos Jr. arrived here at the Heritage Park at around 10:20 in the morning. In a short statement to the media, Marcos Jr. called Ramos a symbol of stability who also brought calmness to the nation after what happened in 1986. The president was referring to the 1986 EDSA People Power Revolt.
FVR, when he became president, was a symbol of stability after all the tumultuous events of 1986. When he came into the presidency, he brought calm and he brought stability to our country. And for that, we will always be grateful to him and for all his service all throughout his life as a soldier and as a public servant. And for that, we clearly have suffered a loss for our country. But the memories of him will be good, because of all the good work he did for the Philippines.
You worked hard. We also tried to work hard. And now he deserves the rest.
I always remember him as a real workaholic. Every day you get to receive news clippings with handwritten notes. Mahalaga sa kanya yung mga pinagbibilin niya, yung magkaroon kaagad ng sagot. He's a real action man.
I always treasured the memories of being taught by President Ramos. He taught by example, and he taught us also in terms of being multi-stakeholder in our approach. He was so patient listening to our people.
Casey, well, today is dedicated solely for those who want to console the family coming from the government, current and former officials. Tomorrow will also be extended to them as well as to members of the diplomatic community, civil society and journalists who have covered Fidel V. Ramos or FVR to many. Public viewing will be on Sunday and the interment of Ramos's remains will happen at 10 in the morning at the Libingan Nabang Bayani on August 9. The office of the president has already announced that Ramos will receive a state funeral. Carmina.
Thanks a lot, Sherian Torres there joining us live. Take care, Shea, and you keep safe. Back here in the newsroom. A member of the health department's technical advisory group confident the country can handle the risks of COVID transmission when classes open later this month. Dr. Anna Ong Lim argues the country now has more knowledge on containing the virus. On monkeypox, however, she believes more should be done to educate the public on prevention and infection management.
The transmission dynamics of monkeypox is quite different from COVID. We're really quite blessed that it's not a respiratory virus, mm-hmm. which would have made it much, much more difficult to deal with in the school setting. So since this is primarily skin-to-skin contact, and once again, we do expect symptoms to be present, if we follow, again, the minimum public health standards and we're vigilant about not reporting to school when we're feeling sick, this should be helpful, no, in preventing spread of this and other diseases.
The resumption of face-to-face classes is good news for several businesses, including canteens. But as Jackie Pascual tells us, it won't be business as usual.
Businessman Gion Redonia is preparing for the return of full face-to-face classes in November. He operated three private school canteens but was forced to close down all three when the pandemic started. Several employees had to be laid off. But now, he is hopeful business will rebound as COVID restrictions ease further.
Mapakasaya na bumalik yung classes, and on November magiging full operation na yung mga schools. Napakasaya sa amin dahil our invested efforts time noong mga unang panahon pa before pandemic, mag-rotate na ulit.
The San Francisco High School in Quezon City is also preparing to reopen its canteen. But more work is needed. The public school's canteen has not been used for over 2 years. Signs of decay evident. School officials now plan to convert a gazebo into a dining area so health protocols can be implemented.
Ito ang i-convert muna namin kasi yung airflow safer at mas maluwag, and it can accommodate more children. At the same time, nakatitiyak kami na yung mga bata ay safe, so magpo-provide kami ng parang very environmental, 'di ba? May puno, may free flow ang hangin.
The Education Department has not issued guidelines on school canteens yet, except for an earlier department order prohibiting students from eating facing one another. Talking is also not allowed when face masks are removed. But schools are already thinking of ways to make dining safer for students.
The option pa namin ay may maghahatid na lang na canteen personnel na mga pagkain. Of course, hindi bata ang bababa. Yung canteen personnel ang aakyat.
This time daw is magkakaroon ng limited na tao sa loob. And syempre yung mga the face mask, yung mga staff namin should be in their proper uniform. Sa kanila lahat tayo may face shield na pa rin tayo dun sa ating mga staff.
The Education Department is getting ready for the opening of classes in some schools this month and for the full face-to-face classes in November.
We have started all our preparations to go back to school on the 22nd of August. So we actually had an interagency meeting last week where the different departments of government got together to coordinate for the opening of classes.
It is also trying to ask for additional funding from the DBM for repairs that still need to be done in many schools. Jackie Pascual, ABS-CBN News.
The Philippine Health Department assures the public the country can manage the possible monkeypox transmission following its detection here last week. Rafael Bosano reports.
The country is ready to manage our monkeypox cases the country is ready to do surveillance for the monkeypox transmission.
This is what the Department of Health assures the public following the detection of the first case of monkeypox in the Philippines last week. Latest information from the DOH says all close contacts of the first monkeypox case remain asymptomatic. Aside from the virus, one of the greatest challenges faced by the public is misinformation and discrimination for those infected with the virus.
Gusto nating klaruhin, monkeypox has not been classified as a sexually transmitted disease. The very reason kung bakit naiisip siguro ng mga tao na ito ay STD ay dahil sa presentasyon na naipapakita niya. Nakita po natin that almost 95% of cases across the globe was transmitted through sexual contact.
The World Health Organization says anyone can get infected with monkeypox.
It's a virus. Viruses can affect anybody. Intimacy, the close contact, it doesn't have to be sexual contact, but that's really helped move this virus from person to person. If one person in the household becomes infected, it can be quite easy for that then to transmit to others in the same household, again through just the close physical contact that comes to, you know, with being in a close family. Nothing to do with sex.
Aside from usual symptoms like fever and swollen lymph nodes, the WHO says they are seeing new manifestations of illness.
This includes things that can be extremely painful and need medical care, such as secondary infections or such as inflammation or swelling of the rectum. These are really conditions that require care. But in addition, there can be the occasional conditions such as encephalitis, which is inflammation of the brain.
In the Philippines, other agencies like the Department of Transportation is now planning to work with the DOH to come up with guidelines to avoid viral transmission, particularly in public transportation. This especially now that public utility vehicles operate at full capacity. Rafael Bosano, ABS-CBN News.
The Philippine Health Department now doubling down on its efforts to administer COVID booster doses to the general public. Rafael Bosano returns with this report.
Factory worker Sherwin Culia is just one of the many employees in a factory in Cavite who lined up for her first booster shot, her fervent hope for the pandemic to end soon.
Tulad po ng face mask, sobrang init po sa mukha. Bumalik po yun dati, yung COVID free na po tayo. Kung wala na pong face mask, wala ng face shield.
Under the Marcos administration's Pinas Lakas campaign, around 397,000 individuals would need to be vaccinated on a daily basis to reach the overall target of 23 million individuals either vaccinated or boosted in the government's first 100 days. This is why Department of Health Officer in Charge Undersecretary Maria Rosario Vergere herself visited two factories in Cavite to convince more people to get additional jabs.
This is a big workplace. Gusto natin ipakita sa ating mga kababayan yung pagtutulungan. Sa kanilang 9,000 plus employees, they have 99% fully vaccinated. Ang kailangan lang talaga, matulungan natin sila para ma-encourage pa ang kanilang empleyado for their booster shots. Kung saan tayo pwedeng pumunta para mas makatulong, mas makapanghikayat, gusto natin yan.
Vergere identifies the Bangsamoro Autonomous Region in Muslim Mindanao, or BARM, as one of the areas that needs to be closely monitored, being the region that has vaccinated the least number of people.
Babalik po tayo uli doon para mabigyan pa natin ng further assistance ang ating mga local governments doon. Hesitancy is there, nandyan yung complacency dahil akala ng mga tao tama na yung dalawang unang doses ng bakuna. Pero syempre, makikita pa rin natin yung konteksto ng lugar. Marami mga far-flung areas.
The health official adds they are ready to face any investigation in the right forum following Senator Risa Hontiveros' filing of a bill in aid of legislation on vaccine wastage. She says there is no oversupply of vaccines.
Binilan natin ang ating populasyon ng Pilipino. Nagkataon, pagdating ng mga bakuna dito, marami ang nagkaroon ng hesitancy. Marami rin po ang hindi pa pumupunta para makakuha ng kanilang scheduled na allocation for the vaccine. So it's not really oversupply.
To avoid vaccines going to waste and to further increase the wall of immunity, the DOH continues to appeal for the public to get jabbed at the right time. Rafael Bosano, ABS-CBN News.
Well, the ramped-up booster campaign comes as the Philippines logs 3,047 new COVID-19 cases. Health officials say 1,011 of this figure were from the capital region. Active cases are nearing the 32,000 mark. Japan reports nearly 250,000 cases or new COVID-19 cases Wednesday. That's the highest single-day tally recorded in the country. This is also the second day in a row new cases there top 200,000. Tokyo saw nearly 39,000 cases, while Osaka recorded 24,000. The worsening seventh wave of infections renewed concerns over a straining medical system, although majority of the infections were mild. Despite this, government has vowed not to impose any mobility restrictions. The European Medicines Agency says Novavax COVID shot must carry a warning for possible heart inflammation. The regulator said the heart conditions myocarditis and pericarditis should be listed as new side effects in the product information of the vaccine. See, there have been several reported cases of these side effects among Novavax recipients in Europe. The company, however, said no concerns about heart inflammations were raised during clinical trials. It added it will work with regulators to assure the safety of its product. Going to take a break now. Up ahead, President Marcos appoints his personal doctor as a chief of the Philippine Food and Drug Administration. More on that when we come back. You're watching Dateline Philippines here on AMC. Back with more news. You're still with Dateline Philippines here on ANC. Here's another look at our headlines this noon. President Marcos leads government officials in paying their last respects to the late President Fidel V. Ramos. China staging its largest ever military drills around Taiwan following the visit of U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. Japan sets a new record high in daily COVID cases. And Senator Amy Marcos defending the movie made in Malacañang after a bishop called for a boycott of the pro-Marcos film. President Marcos appoints his personal doctor chief of the Food and Drug Administration. Malacañang notes Dr. Samuel Zacate has years of experience in medicine and medical consultancy in other government units. These include the Public Attorney's Office and the Presidential Security Group Hospital. Zacate is also a diplomat of the Philippine Society for Venereology and a fellow of the International College of Surgeons. He served as Marcos's lead physician when the president contracted COVID last month. Newly appointed full body chairman George Garcia vows to lead with impartiality and independence and to introduce much-needed reforms to the Commission on Elections. Willard Chang reports.
Commission on Elections Chairperson George Irwin Garcia presided over his first virtual unbanked meeting a day after taking his oath of office. In his first press conference, Garcia vowed to institute structural reforms to strengthen good governance, accountability, transparency, and integrity, and elevate standards of competence in the poll body. His marching orders to COMELEC personnel.
The right team. We are here to protect democracy and affirm the mandate of the people. Do the right thing. What is the right thing? Avoid anything that is not right.
Garcia says he will remain impartial and independent, vowing to protect the institution and inhibit from cases involving former clients, including President Marcos, as he did when he first served as commissioner of the poll body.
Isang term lang ang Pangulong Bongbong Marcos hanggang 2028, so hindi naman po siya tatakbo na. Kung ano man po yung kaso na may darating sa amin na mag-i-involve siya o kahit na sinong kliyente ko before na nahawakan ko, whether in the past, definitely mark my word, I will inhibit. Wala po ako mapapala kung magpa-participate ako. Natutulig siya pa ako ng sambayan ng Pilipino. Magkakaroon ng duda, hindi lang sa akin, kung hindi sa institution. I always protect the institution. Hindi na baling nawala ako, hindi ako na-confirm, natandaan nyo naman yun, it's okay. But the institution's integrity is intact.
Among Garcia's plans is to open all procurement to the public and media, create a COMELEC Academy to train all COMELEC personnel on the commission's work, create COMELEC marshals to enforce COMELEC orders, and create the Office of COMELEC Spokesperson as a permanent entity. He also plans to lead the poll body's first flag raising during the pandemic on Monday. Garcia also hopes to include in the poll body's budget proposal next year the construction of a building in its property in Pasay to house the COMELEC offices and warehouse to do away with leasing offices that cost the poll body several millions. The COMELEC reiterated that all of its servers and secure vaults are safe, intact, undamaged, and unaffected. The fire that hit the reception area of the Information Technology Department at the 7th floor of Palacio del Gobernador. COMELEC led reporters to a tour of the area to show that no data were compromised, pointing out that the electronic election results and data remain to be posted on its website. The Bureau of Fire Protection is looking at the possibility that a damaged uninterruptible power supply or UPS unit caused the fire.
Yung initial investigation natin ay nagmula po sa ilalim ng computer table. So doon sa initial results, napansin ng ating mga investigator na sunog na sunog po yung UPS. So ito po yung dahilan bakit natin dinala sa arson laboratory namin, sa national headquarters, para malaman po kung may defective na po yung UPS natin.
Hinihintay po namin yung kanilang final report, but it appears and it is apparent already na wala po talagang foul play, wala pong design, walang arson, kundi talaga pong meron po silang tinitignan na faulty equipment or electrical wirings po.
The COMELEC suspended its frontline services, including the issuance of voter certification, advising the public to process requests with their local election office in the meantime. Physical reporting to majority of the offices in the main office will resume Thursday, except for seniors, pregnant, and people with disabilities, and those with comorbidities who may continue to work from home. Willard Cheng, ABS-CBN News.
COMELEC Chairman Garcia says he respects President Marcos's decision to veto a measure giving tax breaks to poll workers. He defends the president, saying the move is not meant to discredit the efforts of election personnel. Garcia adds other forms of assistance could be offered to them.
Narinig ko po ang ating Pangulo ng ipaliwanag po niya yung pong kadahilanan at ang kanyang proposal din. Nagkataon po with all and natutuwa po ako na halos parehas po kami ng idea dahil sa yung pong tax exemption na ating pong sanang igagawad o ibibigay sa ating mga poll watchers ay pwede naman pong bakunan talaga doon sa bakit hindi na lang po natin i-increase halimbawa yung allowance honoraria na pwede namin maibigay sa kanila. Lalo't lalo na may budget naman po kami. Kesa halimbawa po yung budget na yan, halimbawa po excess o yung matitira ay kung saan mapunta, ibigay na lang po namin sa mga guro o sa iba pang mga poll workers na magpilingkod po sa araw na election. O kaya naman po, pag sila'y nagte-training, pwede po namin taasan yung mga training honoraria na binibigay po namin.
Senate Minority Leader Coco Pimentel stresses the importance of better coordination between the legislative and executive branches of government. That's after President Marcos vetoed five measures that were already passed by the 18th Congress. Pimentel suggests immediately activating the Presidential Legislative Liaison Office so lawmakers can start working on the administration's priority bills and prevent a repeat of successive vetoes.
Yun, mas madaling i-activate kasi ang litak. Very formal pa, tatawagin mo ilang tao yan. Pwede naman siyang bumisita na sa Senado, mag-request siya ng meeting with the senators o kung sino man na mag-attend. I-brief na niya, oh, ito yung 19 na priority legislation, ano yung mga laman nito. So para klaro na, like yung right sizing na yan, ano lang yan eh, term lang yan eh. Priority legislation daw ang right sizing. Term lang po yan, konsepto lang yan. Ang importante malaman yung detalye eh.
The lower chamber has elected its delegates to two powerful bodies, the Commission on Appointments and the House of Representatives Electoral Tribunal. For the CA, the House elected Pangasinan Representative Ramon Guico Jr., Cavite Congresswoman Lani Mercado, Camarines Representative Elrey Villafuerte, and Sagip Party List Representative Rodante Marcoleta, among others. They will have a say on who sits in the Marcos administration as they can confirm or reject presidential appointees. Meanwhile, Davao's Vincent Garcia and Cebu Representative Pablo John Garcia were among those elected to the House of Representatives Electoral Tribunal. They are tasked to resolve electoral protests and cases pertaining to House lawmakers. A bill penalizing political turncoatism filed at the lower house, the author, former president, and now senior deputy speaker Gloria Macapagal Arroyo. Under the proposed measure, party members are not allowed to switch affiliation 1 year before or after any national elections. Violations will have a penalty of forfeiting their elective office or disqualification from the next election. The Political Party Development Act of 2022 also seeks to institutionalize political parties and prescribes procedures for its registration before the Philippine Poll Body. Senate Minority Leader Coco Pimentel says this bill is more likely to pass in Congress than anti-political dynasty measures.
Ang pagreforma sa lipunan, lalo na sa sistema ng politika natin, gawin na lang natin itong evolution, hindi revolution. Evolution, ibig sabihin nun, dahan-dahan, kung ano yung kaya natin gawin, kunin na natin. So, imbis na, let us say, anti-political dynasty law na alam na natin na i-oppose ng lahat ng members ng dynasty dyan sa lawmaking body, mas may pag-asa pa itong anti-political turncoatism.
A political analyst, meanwhile, wants some changes to the bill.
Bagamat natutuwa ako at nabuhay na naman yung usapin tungkol dito, binabasa ko nga, meron din akong mga hindi sang-ayon. Like halimbawa, bakit 1 year lang? Dapat 3 years. Dapat 3 years, kasing electoral cycle, 3 years eh. Paano mo naman maaano yung loyalty mo kung hindi naman uminit yung upuan mo dun sa partido na yon? Dapat at least 3 years ka na member ng party bago ka tumakbo under that party. Itong current version ni Congresswoman Arroyo, walang mention ng barangay. Parang hindi ba dapat mas maganda kung magsisimula sa grassroots?
Justice Secretary Boyeng Remulla vows to provide the International Criminal Court with details on the Duterte administration's bloody war on drugs. That's ahead of a September 8th deadline set by the ICC for the Philippines to comment on whether its prosecutor should be allowed to resume its probe into the anti-narcotics campaign. Remulla says among the information they will provide are supposed proof that the justice system in the country is working and why there's no need for the ICC to step in.
I think it is indisputable that our courts are functioning. The prosecution is functioning. This means that we have a functioning judicial system. So I don't think that there's any deprivation involved here, since what is involved is domestic law and the way that we run our country. And it is a democratic country.
There are no more unabated killings as of today. In fact, record shows that there are no unenforced disappearances or torture in the last 3 years. And that means the government is in place and in control. So that is what we believe in, and that is what excludes the ICC from exercising its powers over us. Our institutions are intact and working.
Remulla also claims his agency will spare no one in its review of drug war killings. That's amid criticism top government officials are not part of ongoing investigations.
Kahit sino pa, wala naman tayo sinasanto eh. Kahit sino pa yan, di ba? Bakit nyo ba sasabihin na hindi namin kayang gawin itong bagay na ito? Eh, nasubukan nyo na ba yung aming will para maayos lahat yan? Di ba? Para naman sobrang loaded yan na you're already presuming something that is not there as a fact. Hindi naman fact yun eh. Diba? I think that's too biased for us to even consider a statement like that.
The Philippine Education Department urging local government officials and the private sector to provide learning spaces in quake-ravaged areas ahead of the start of the new school year later this month. Joyce Balancho now joins us with details. Joyce, over to you.
Yes, Carmina, an interagency meeting was held last Friday here in the Department of Education, and thorough preparations for the opening of classes were discussed. Among them, the monitoring of the rising prices of school supplies days before the formal opening of classes in August 22, 2022. DepEd spokesperson Attorney Michael Poa said they're asking from the private sector donations for these much-needed supplies. He said these can be coursed through the ongoing Brigada Eskwela activities in public schools, which will happen until August 26, 2022. Now, students from poor families who cannot afford to buy school supplies will be prioritized. Also, to prepare for the opening of classes, DepEd orders the local government units to remove in public schools the isolation or quarantine facilities that were put up 2 years ago when the cases of COVID-19 were still high. The Metropolitan Waterworks and Sewerage System, or MWSS, also guaranteed DepEd during the interagency meeting that there will be sufficient supply of water even though there might be a spike in demand when classes begin. On quake-hit schools, DepEd is still looking for spaces such as basketball courts or covered courts or even rooms that the private sector can offer so that opening of classes can still push through on August 22. Carmina.
Thanks a lot, Joyce Balancho. Take care and keep safe. Back here in the newsroom, a Philippine Catholic bishop calls for a boycott of the pro-Marcos movie Made in Malacañang. Bishop Gerardo Alminaza described the film as shameless and called on the people behind it to publicly apologize to the Carmelite nuns, to President Corazon Aquino's family, and to the Filipino people. The movie's trailer portrayed the late president playing mahjong with a group of nuns. Aquino sought refuge at the Carmelite Monastery in Cebu during the 1986 EDSA People Power Revolution. Bishop Alminaza challenged the Movie and Television Review and Classification Board to act on the issue and exercise its mandate. Uncalled for. That's how the president's sister, Senator Aimee Marcos, described criticisms against Made in Malacañang. Marcos served as creative consultant for the film about her family's last days before fleeing the presidential palace. The senator invites critics to watch the whole movie first before making any judgment. The president's sister also debunked reports they are giving away movie tickets to schools and local governments.
Bakit may komentaryo na sa lahat? Hindi pa napapanood? Kasi ngayon pa lang ang opening day. Ngayon pa lang ilalabas sa sinehan. Kaya't naanyayahan ko kung anuman ang panig ninyo sa politika, paniniwala ninyo sa iba't ibang mga politiko. Mas importante siguro makita muna para malaman kung ano nga ba ang sinasaloob nitong sineng to. Lahat yan na binibili, kaya nga lang maraming sektor na nag-volunteer kagad at humingi ng black screening. Yun yung mga pinamimigay na ticket, pinamimigay sa empleyado, sa staff, sa kamag-anak. Marami na ring loyalista, siguro bahagi na doon yung mga bumoto ng 31 million.
Meanwhile, Viva Films claims Made in Malacañang raked in 21 million pesos in its first day of showing. Going to take another break. Still ahead, China flexing its military muscle following U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's visit to Taiwan. This is Dateline Philippines. Stay with ANC. Good morning. A new weather system is expected to bring rainy weather over several parts of the Visayas and Mindanao. Let's get an update on the weather now from ABS-CBN's resident meteorologist, Ariel Rojas. Ariel, over to you.
Hi, good afternoon, Carmina. A low pressure area formed east of Visayas early this morning. At 10 a.m., it was located 280 kilometers east of Catarman, northern Samar. Today, the southwest monsoon or habagat pulled by the LPA will bring rainy weather over Palawan, Sulu Archipelago, Zamboanga Peninsula, and western Visayas. Calabarzon, Bicol Region, Mindoro, and the rest of Visayas will also be rainy starting this afternoon until later this evening. Intense thunderstorms will be expected this afternoon as well in central Luzon, northern Mindanao, Caraga, Maguindanao, Lanao del Sur, and Sokcergen. Metro Manila may also have a thunderstorm this afternoon or evening. Meanwhile, the low pressure area is forecast to cross the Calabarzon, Central Luzon area on Saturday and emerge over the West Philippine Sea by Sunday, where it may develop into a tropical depression. The next name on the PAGASA storm list is Florita. Habagat will be enhanced by the tropical system starting tomorrow until early next week, and we are expecting a very wet weekend, especially here in Metro Manila, Central and Southern Luzon, and Visayas. Our kapamilya will have to prepare as flooding and landslides are highly likely in these areas. So stay tuned for more updates on this weather disturbance. That's the latest for now on the weather. This is Ariel Rojas. Back to you, Carmina.
Thanks a lot, Ariel. Take care and keep safe. World news now. China is staging its largest ever military drills around Taiwan in a show of force following a tension-filled visit by U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. The exercises are set to begin Thursday noon and will take place in multiple zones encircling Taiwan. State media said the activities will involve live fire drills. Pelosi left Taiwan Wednesday after a visit that defied a series of stark warnings from Beijing. She is the highest elected U.S. official to visit Taiwan in 25 years. Pelosi is now headed to South Korea, the next stop in her tour of the Asia Pacific. A U.S. foreign policy think tank believes China's show of military force in the wake of Speaker Pelosi's visit is meant to deter other countries from extending legitimacy to Taiwan's government. But the Project 2049 Institute says the international community should push back on this.
What we're seeing here is sort of another chapter in a very long story about how Beijing uses various means to be able to coerce or compel other countries to restrict their interactions with Taiwan. You can have a one-China policy and still have relatively normal relations with other governments in the world, including Taiwan. Beijing sometimes will play on media. So let's say if there is some sort of a general public concern over events that are going on, they will project that as being a crisis sort of environment, and Beijing loves that. Because it helps their deterrence. It helps either deterrence or coercion.
Here at home, a security analyst urges the Philippine government to be ready for possible implications of race tensions between the U.S. and China. Dr. Chester Cabalsa points out thousands of overseas Filipino workers in Taiwan could be affected if tensions boil over. Cabalsa also weighed in on Malacanang's position to remain mum on the Taiwan issue.
That's a clever strategy coming from our government, because our government is performing a balancing act right now, given that it has proposed a well-spelled independent foreign policy. But of course, this is now the exercise of that independent foreign policy. The IFP will be tested basically on how we will balance our relations with China and the United States. And by weekend, we will see Secretary Blinken visiting the Philippines. So we see this dynamism in the relations basically, and how these two superpowers are courting us.
A senator is seeking a probe into the effects of the war in Ukraine on energy security and affordability here in the Philippines. Our very own Vivian Gulia now joins us with that story. Viv, over to you.
Carmina, good afternoon. Senator Sherwin Gatchalian has sought a Senate inquiry into the effects of the Russia-Ukraine war on energy security and affordability in the Philippines. He filed Senate Resolution Number 78 on Monday. Gatchalian said the drastic increase in international crude oil is mirrored domestically, with local pump prices of gasoline increasing by 22% from its January 2022 price of 63.58 pesos per liter to May 2022 price of 77.71 pesos per liter. Local pump prices of diesel, meanwhile, soared 49% from the January 2022 price of 50 pesos and 95 centavos per liter to May 2022 price of 75 pesos and 92 centavos per liter. The senator noted that the increase in domestic pump prices have led to jeepney drivers opting not to ply their usual routes and provincial bus and taxi operators to operate only at a 20 to 30% capacity. These, Gatchalian said, resulted in severe lack of available public transportation that can be utilized by the commuting public. He added that the global coal crisis has led to some generation companies filing for petitions for fuel pass-through with the Energy Regulatory Commission despite fixed-price power supply agreements. Therefore, Gatchalian asserted that Congress needs to be apprised of the short, medium, and long-term effects of the Russian invasion of Ukraine on the Philippine economy. Carmina, back to you.
Thanks a lot, Viv. That is Vivian Gudia reporting to us live. Back here in the newsroom, Malacañang reiterates its commitment to reduce the poverty rate in the Philippines to single digits by 2028. That's after a new SWS survey showed nearly half, or about 12.2 million Filipino families, consider themselves poor. Press Secretary Trixie Cruz Angeles says the results of the survey strengthens their resolve to address the country's poverty problem.
Ang gusto lang natin ipaalala, ayon dun sa SONA ng ating Pangulo, mayroon tayong punteriya that by 2028, ma-reduce natin to single digit ang ating poverty levels. So tuloy-tuloy pa rin yun. If anything, this makes the matter more urgent at mas malapit nating tututukan ang pagbuwag ng poverty levels dito sa Pilipinas. Or at least ma-diminish natin to single levels, single-digit levels. Since he is the Secretary of Agriculture, bahagi po yon yung ating pagpapalakas ng agrikultura, pagpapalakas ng ekonomiya natin. Lahat po yon ay makakatulong para mapuntirian natin itong mga itong levels ng poverty dito sa Pilipinas.
A power struggle ensues within the Philippine Economic Zone Authority. Trade Secretary Alfredo Pascual stands by his order affirming the assignment of Tereso Panga or Panga as officer in charge of PESA. But former PESA Director General Charito Plaza refuses to leave office, saying she will not follow Pascual's order. Plaza insists PESA is exempted from Malacañang's memorandum circular last June, declaring vacant the head of agency. She adds another Malacañang order, which extended the authority of OICs until year-end or until a replacement is named, allows her to keep her post.
Sa memo 3, nakalagay kasi doon na government instrumentality, GOCs like PESA, is exempted sa memo 1, meaning ang incumbent DG need not vacate but hold over para may continuity sa services. Susunod lang ako when sa Malacañang order. Kasi memo naman ito ng Malacañang, so si Malacañang ang lang maka-design. Mm-hmm. I will not consider the DTI instruction.
PESA's website though already shows Panga as its OIC. Metro Pacific Investments Corporation eyeing to expand its business in various industries this year. MPIC Chairman and CEO Manny Pangilinan says they are looking at possible expansion in areas like agriculture, tollways, tourism, energy, health, and mining. Though the group is not yet looking at the Sangley Airport project in Cavite, Pangilinan says it could be a potential investment.
I'm personally interested in, because I think it's a good... It's a good collateral project for NAIA because I think the runway is capable of being fixed and expanded, and it's a parallel runway to NAIA. And in the long run, it could be a replacement airport for NAIA.
Back in 2019, MPIC also expressed interest in the Sangley Airport project, a planned upgrade of Sangley by a consortium of a Chinese company and Lushotan's Macro Asia was scrapped last year by the Cavite provincial government. The Cavite LGU said it canceled its award for the planned $10 billion airport since the consortium wasn't fully committed to the project. The Philippine government now preparing the implementing rules and regulations for the law rendering all birth, death, and marriage certificates valid for life. Warren De Guzman has that story.
The bill declaring all birth, death, and marriage certificates as valid for life has lapsed into law, and the Philippine Statistics Authority is now busy preparing the implementing rules and regulations to make sure all government and private institutions and establishments start accepting submitted copies of these papers for any documentary requirements.
Gagawan po to ng IRR, no? Kasi bagong batas. So sa ngayon, ang panawagan po ng PSA, no? Hindi po kami nagsiset ng expiration or validity sa lahat ng dokumento na i-issue namin. Isang kopya ng birth, marriage, and death, nagcha-charge po tayo ng 155 per copy. And of course, malaking bagay po yan, no, kung naisabatas na po ito, yung permanent validity, mas stronger or stricter yung implementation po natin, malaking tulong po ito sa ating mga kababayan. So, for example na lang po, nung pag nag-apply ka ng trabaho, yung nagre-require sila ng, may alam ako na yan siya, nagre-require ng 10 copies ng birth certificate. So, every year yan. So, malaking bagay po yan.
PSA Assistant National Statistician Mariza Grande adds, it will soon be very easy to validate submitted documents.
Nag-launch na po kami ng bagong issuance ng security paper na may QR code. At malalaman mo kung yung dokumento na isinubmit sa iyo ng isang Filipino or individual ay valid or authentic, no? So, nandun po sa aming website yung PSA e-verification app. Nasa pilot stage po kami ngayon, but within this year po ay mag-roll out na po natin ito sa ating mga outlet.
Certificates printed on the new security paper are now available at the PSA East Avenue office in Quezon City and at other select pilot sites including Olongapo, Iligan, Puerto Princesa, and Valenzuela City. Citizens lining up for their PSA certificates think these latest developments will be great for them and for overseas Filipinos.
Nakakatulong din po yun para po hindi na po pabalik-balik, tsaka hindi na po papaulit-ulit po pagkuha.
Pabor po kaming ganun.
Makakatipid po.
Para hindi na po hassle, lalo na sa may mga trabaho na papunta pa ng PSA para lang kumuha ulit ng mga documents na katulad ng birth certificate.
The PSA notes there are exemptions to the rule. Embassies, for instance, can still exercise their own discretion in deciding which documents can be submitted for visa applications and other similar transactions. Certificates with incorrect or outdated information must also be replaced, such as marriage certificates for unions which have been annulled. More information is available on the PSA website at psa.gov.ph. Warren De Guzman, ABS-CBN News.
Global video streaming service Prime Video increases its investment for customers in the Philippines and other Asian countries. It has recently revealed its first local original title, Comedy Island Philippines, a unique improvisation comedy challenge show. It will be launched on Prime Video in more than 240 countries and territories in 2023. For more on this story, head on over to news.abs-cbn.com. That'll do it for today. Thanks for joining us. I'm Carmina Consentino. If you want to revisit today's episode, you can play back this newscast on ANC's YouTube channel and on ANC 24/7 on Facebook. Keep safe. Keep it here on ANC.